Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. We are here for week number three, and we had a fairly slow week. Not a lot of games streamed, but you know what that means? There's a lot that we can talk about that happened off stream. So I'm here with my hosts.
Jobin again. Happy to see you guys for the third week in a row. Really think we're finding our stride here, and we got some great action to get into you guys and show you guys some great behind-the-scenes looks this week.
And Zachary Bailable Shire. Again, like Jobin, glad to be back. You know, specifically for me speaking, I'm excited to be talking about Call of Duty this week.
Mm-hmm. Except for them. But we're not going to start off with them. We're going to start off with our Rocket League team. Both of them, actually. So getting right into it, we're going to look at NACE, where Rocket League Green, they were able to 3-0 the Rochester Institute of Technology Black team. You know, really solid performance coming out from them, you know. Green, of course, being like being seen as the lesser of our two Rocket League teams, but you know, still showing that they can absolutely, you know, throw down when it comes down to it. And looking over to NACC, we had a game from both our gold team and our green team. 3-0s for each of them, you know, strong performances. Yeah. Green managed to take a 3-0 against the University of Ottawa, and gold took the 3-0 over New Haven. So, you know, just clean stuff. No matches dropped. No games dropped.
What we had come to expect from the green and the blue boys throughout the year, yeah.
they never disappoint, really. So, you know, just solid stuff all around.
Yeah, you know, both those teams, as we start talking about, like, playoffs now going into this week, our Rocket League teams, much like our Call of Duty team has been doing, like, not that we haven't really mentioned it, is they're still undefeated
true.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Under the radar.
Like, kind of under the radar. We've been talking about, oh, Call of Duty's like undefeated, you know, it's crazy, but our Rocket League teams on the other hand doing the exact same thing.
That's
know?
True, yeah. A little bit of that could just be because, like, you know, our Rocket League team are just like, they've always been at a high level here at St. Clair. Like, mm-hmm. I think, like, historically, they've been, like, one of our best performers. So it doesn't come as of much of a surprise to see them like continuing to perform really well. You know, it's kind of just like become par for the course for the Rocket League teams, really. Like, they're very good. They'll probably continue to be really good, right?
And you wonder if there's some in-house competition between the teams to see who keeps their zero the wall, especially heading into playoffs now. Neither team can afford to lose that zero. You had to wonder if there's a little bit of friendly banter back and forth between the teams.
Well, I know there was a tournament over the summer where both the teams, they ended up playing in the same tournament, and I think they both had a flawless run until they ended up facing each other in the finals. So could we see a repeat of that?
I wouldn't have it any other way.
Likely.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to wait and see how it goes. Honestly, I think the only disappointing thing from the Rocket League team this week is that none of the matches were streamed, so we don't get to see any of their great highlights.
Yeah.
But, you know, fortunately, we don't have time to stream all the games here, as sad as that is, but, you know, they still had a great performance, and we're just proud to see that they're still doing well.
And I suspect the next time we see them, there will be plenty of highlights to choose from.
Plenty
of stuff to look over, because those guys always put on an absolute show when the matches are streamed and they're popping off.
Absolutely.
100%.
All right, so let's keep it going. And now we will get on to the potential star of the show.
Yeah, we'll move over to Call of Duty.
Big week for Call of Duty. A lot of
huge
stuff going
week.
On.
There's actually, compared to all the other teams, Call of Duty, I think, has the most going on this year.
Yeah, they were busy.
That new COD season.
That's one of the big things, too. Now that Vanguard's out, you know, we're going to have to see, for our team specifically, because they're still competing in tournaments involved in Cold War, they're like, how are they going to balance, like, playing between the two games, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But to start things off, Priestley. Actually announced as number 6 in the top 10 returning players to watch in the CCL. So big kind of like props to him.
Yeah, big accomplishment.
To just be in that top 10 slot. You know, there's a lot of teams that play in the CCL.
Yeah.
Not just a lot of teams, but a lot of good teams.
That's big name status.
To have all the outside sources gratifying and like showing you that, hey, like we recognize your talent and your ability and that what you've done the last couple weeks. Like that's got to feel really good.
Yeah, and CCL, that's
huge.
Across North America.
That's huge.
I believe he's also the only Canadian player on the list. So that's even more of an accomplishment. He is potentially the best Canadian player in collegiate right now.
Judging by that, those statistics, I don't think you can make an argument against it.
Yeah. So, you know, Priestley, and it should be mentioned, this is the returning players to watch. Yeah. So there could be some new talent in there that might end up being just as good. And some of that new talent could end up just being the rest of the St. Clair team, right? So,
and it just speaks to Priestley's consistency, right? So you want to get, if you're getting the top, like almost in the top five out of the 10 for the returning players, that means he was excellent last year, put together a great standing, and then came out and did it again, and he was able to get recognized for his hard work and his efforts.
Yeah, so, you know, definitely a player to keep an eye on. And it's not like we failed to recognize it. Like, if you watch the team, he's top tier.
Priestley is definitely one of, if not our best player here at St. Clair. And then moving over to, speaking of Vanguard, actually, Saints actually did play in their first Vanguard tournament over the course of last week. They played in the AVGL Freedom Vanguard Collegiate Qualifier.
That's a mouthful.
So it's a bit of a mouthful. They managed to finish second overall in that, so not quite making it as they fall to U Ottawa, which is a very strong team in the collegiate space. But not only... is U Ottawa very strong, but St. Clair pulled a really close match there. Yeah. Like they lost 3-1, pretty close. You know, one of the games of Search and Destroy went 6-5. You know, like neck and neck, like one kill here, one kill there, and it goes completely a different direction. And especially like U Ottawa, I believe like all they really have to focus now on is Vanguard.
Yeah, they probably
their season for Cold War is pretty much done now. So they've been hard grinding Vanguard here. And St. Clair has been not only getting on the Vanguard grind, but still playing Cold War in like four nations.
Making
playoffs,
deep runs, yeah.
So to have your time split like that and to still show like still being really strong against a strong opponent is just really impressive.
On basically, brand new game. They haven't practiced yet. And say, Cold War and Vanguard, very different. They play very, very differently.
That's what's interesting about Call of Duty, right? Is like, I can't think of any other competition in general where every single year it drastically changes.
Yeah.
Like, where you have to not relearn the game, because the fundamentals stay the same, sure, but you have to relearn what's good. You have to relearn what maps you're playing on. You have to, like, maybe there's new game modes playing in. Maybe the existing game modes have been changed somewhat, right?
Yeah, and now Vanguard, say they added, there is small mechanic, like they added the new blind fire mechanic. There are some new mechanics that you do have to account for and say, especially like the game only having been out like a week and a half and St. Clair still playing deep into these Cold War runs. Like, if they're already starting out this strong, I have very high hopes for what they're going to bring us with Vanguard in the next little while, couple months.
Absolutely. And the fact that they performed so well already just speaks to their adaptability and the amount of raw skill that they have.
For sure, you know, and I guarantee you, like, if they had like an extra week to prepare to like get used to like the new maps a little bit, that's a completely different
game. I think so too,
And then moving forward to like a little bit of more kind of in-depth. Obviously, as you said, it was a pretty close match. But there was a couple of maps where they did kind of like struggle. The first round, the first set of SND tragically went 6-1 against them. Ooh. Like not their map. And then the last hard point, again, not their map. 250-90.
And having not played Vanguard, too. I mean, it's if you're ever going to drop and have a sloppy series, this is the one you'd expect them to have the most trouble with. Because, brand new game, they haven't practiced, and they're playing against a team that's already fully focused on that game because they have nothing to do with Cold War anymore.
You know, and even then, like, all of the players of St. Clair still looking really good in the spots that, like, they did play well. Like, on the maps that were close and the map that they won, like, all of St. Clair's players, like, pretty even, like, going positive and sometimes 2.0 in the KD ratio. Aside from Sauce, but Sauce gets a pass here. If you go and like watch back the game, Sauce was playing more so like as an objective based player rather than kills. Just off the top of my head, like on the second map, which is the one that they won, he went negative in his KD, but he had like 4 minutes of objective time on hardpoint.
My boy was an anchor.
He practically just never left the objective. It was crazy.
And so that's the great thing about the Saints too, is that we have a lot of guys that can go out there and they can try to be the kill leader and try to be the alpha of the lobby. We have a lot of guys that know they can play a role excellently, and they can play it. Even say he might not care that he goes a couple kills negative. If you hold the point for 4 minutes, you have done so much more for your team than that KDA says.
100%.
And it's important to have like that variety within like your roles, right? Like, you don't want to have every person just like running it down looking for kills. You need to like kind of assign these different jobs to like really make the most out of it.
100%. Especially, you know, like as you guys said, that now that they're like learning how to play this new game with like the new guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw like St. Clair kind of like trend toward like a similar play style that's in Cold War, where in Cold War, obviously, like there's two pretty dominant guns.
Yeah.
There's the Krieg, which is like your main assault rifle, and then there's the AK-74U, which is your SMP.
Yeah.
In Vanguard, they kind of like trend similarly. I'm not 100% on the rifle of choice. You know, I'm still familiarizing myself with Vanguard, but I know the MP40 is that kind of like go-to SMG right now, and that's what Sauce was using.
And well, I'm sure we're gonna see that change a lot, like over the next 100%. Weeks and months. But, you know, the game's been out what, a week, 2 weeks. Like, simply put, there's not enough time for there to be a definitive best gun in the game.
Oh, I'm sure there will be a laundry list of gun balances in their first.
Oh, and like that too.
It'll be, the whole game will be completely different after one or two updates.
Whole bunch of patches.
I mean, we even saw it like as like Cold War went on, like things started out like everyone was using the XM4.
Yeah,
but
that's. Different by the end.
Here we are later in the season. Everyone's using the Krieg now, right?
Yeah.
But like it's kind of like we'll change over time. But kind of moving on from that match. One last thing that Call of Duty managed to accomplish out of the game is Sauce has won the Intel Inspires 2D Art Creator Contest.
Oh wow! Congrats to him.
Good on you, Sauce.
He won a spicy $2,000.
Not bad.
Not too bad.
Playing in that, so.
Part-time COD player, full-time winner.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So not only is he good at Call of Duty, but he's also pretty damn good when it comes to creating some art.
Like, if you guys have ever seen, like, some of the graphics on the Saints channels, a lot of that is actually done by Sauce. He's a really talented graphic designer, and I mean, just goes to show you. I mean, winning $2,000 for creating a graphic, that's not a bad deal, right?
No, that's, especially, when this guy's just clicking heads on the weekend and designing awesome stuff during the weekend, winning money off, that's just awesome to see, and a good story for us.
Yeah, super crazy, especially, like, it's something that not a lot of people really think about, but for his portfolio going forward, right? Like, he's kind of, like, built up, like, oh, he could do this, oh, he could do that, oh, he could do all of these different
things,
right? So he's got, like, a kind of, like, diverse skill
set. Oh, yeah.
That he can move, like, into his future going forward.
See, I would say he's a jack of all trades, but it's kind of hard to call him that, because the full quote is jack of all trades, master of none, right? But he's a master
pretty
of
good,
like, at least two things, so...
Yeah, but that all being said, that practically wraps up Call of Duty for the week, so I think we're going to move over to R6.
Yeah, so still a bit of a slower week from R6. We do have a bit of an update. They're going through a roster rebuild right now. They have been on a bit of a hiatus due to some changes in players. A couple of players had to drop the team. A couple of players had to leave the team due to outside circumstances, which is unfortunate, of course. You know, they were really talented, and we're sad to see them go. But we are from what we know, they are doing their best to rebuild, and we're looking to see them coming back and looking as good as ever. So hopefully we'll be able to talk more about that in the weeks to come. Unfortunately, we don't have much info right now. A lot of it is still being kept under wraps. You know, I'm guessing they're running internal tryouts and stuff. They're doing a lot of stuff, like looking for players here at St. Clair on campus.
There's a lot that goes into talent. Not re-recruit, but you try to rebuild it. There's a lot that goes into on the back. And trying to maybe recruit people from outside or find your in-house talent and then figuring out who works well with who and everything like that. Just a lot that goes into it. So we're not going to know anything for probably a couple more weeks at least.
Yeah. But from what I hear, things are starting to look back up for the Rainbow Six team. So we'll be eagerly awaiting their return for sure.
100%. Well then.
Yeah, let's keep it moving right along and go on to Fortnite.
Now the boys of Fortnite had themselves an excellent week in play versus.
Amazing stuff.
Sirius, Vexy, and Draza to get into the play versus the final heats. You had to play in the quarterfinals to advance to the heats, and then you had to play in the heats to advance to the finals. They came first place to qualify for the heats. Is that pretty good or what? Will that work?
I mean,
you think they qualified if they came first?
I think that'll do it.
And so like we kept talking about Sirius and then the other weeks. Like these guys have just been like they slowly improving week by week. We've seen their placements. Like even if they weren't at the top of the top, they're always in one of the higher percentages. So we were waiting for like a breakout week, and they finally were able to find it. I'd say Sirius, Vexy, and Draza were absolutely unbelievable. They just had total map control. Teamwork was on point. They had good communications. Obviously, they have the gun skill and the ability. And when you put all that together, they were able to make, let's say, you come first, I mean.
All the pieces just fell into
place. Yeah, it was a perfect storm of everything. So you come first place, I mean, you may have made mistakes, but there's visually no errors to be had there. So, I mean, this a flawless performance from the boys over the first week.
Yeah, I mean, when you get first place in a game like Fortnite, the only thing you can really, like, do to get better is, like, maybe get first place faster.
Once you win, it's like, okay. And to have the consistency throughout the entire day, because you have to play multiple matches, obviously. So if you're averaging and, like, a top five placement every game with getting a couple wins in there. Like, that is so impressive. Say, in Fortnite, it's so hard to win a game, man. Yeah. It is so hard to win against, especially against high-level players. Like, you do need everything to go right almost in Fortnite. Like, as much skill as it is, man, do you need a lot of luck. So to have that all come together on one day and for them to finish first place is just, like, I'd say it's awesome.
I mean, yeah, it's amazing. We love to see it. Fortnite team is another one of those teams similar to Rocket League. Like, historically, they've been very good. Yep. We know we can expect good things from them, right? And they're living up to our expectation. Like, we put that expectation of, like, doing great things on them, and they're not failing at it at all.
Saying if anything, the opposite, they're showing up exactly when it matters. So they might have, like, stumbled a little bit early in the year, but as soon as now we're into crunch time and we're seeing the placements get higher and higher and higher across the board, especially in the trios. And say that was just the first part. So the first place got them into the finals for the Heats. Then they had another great showing. They're able to come in 10th place, which would absolutely qualify you as well. So now they're going to be moving into the play versus trios finals, which I say, once you get in, say, we said with Fortnite last week, once you get in there, you have every chance to win as every other team in there. You just have to try to play your game, try to let RNG screw you as little as possible, and just try to stay focused. So you got to stay composed in that game too, because you start getting third and fourth and fifth part from different mountaintops and people hiding in different shacks and shooting at you. You have to really, like, stay composed. Like, hey, we need to, like, have a game. Like, you have to have a game plan while you're running around.
That's the thing with Battle Royales, right? Is that it's so easy to just all of a sudden be caught up in the middle of a war zone.
And then you're spinning in circles trying to crank as many 90s as possible. But sometimes you have to just sit, like, hey, guys, what do we have for materials? Where are we getting shot from? You have to try to break down, like, a mini game plan within each little fight. And that can be a lot. Say, especially when you have 80 other, like, in those big teammates, you may have 40 other people with, like, all differing ideas about how they want to attack and what they want to do. So to try to read the entire map at once and pull that off is just, like, super hard to do and super impressive.
Yeah. Solid stuff, you know.
So, yeah, so we'll keep a lookout. Yeah, the Fortnite boys, they qualify for the Play versus Trios finals. We'll catch some of that action next week. I believe they're playing on Monday or Tuesday, so stay locked, and we'll make sure we update you guys with that. But they're looking to bring home a second championship in a row for St. Clair, so hopefully the boys can go out there and get it done.
Yeah. Keep up the historical trend of bringing home the trophies, right?
100%.
See if we can.
I think we actually have an interview.
Yeah, and I'd say on the back of Sirius, Sirius has had, he's had the best year of all of our Fortnite players by far. Obviously, the trios, it's a team effort and everyone's competing. But we had to make sure we had to catch up with Siri for a few minutes and just get some of his thoughts on how he's been playing and the play versus throughout the year, and just get some of his thoughts and breakdown on what he's thinking moving forward and everything.
Yeah, so we'll cut to that now with our special behind-the-scenes reporter, Nicholas Kermit. So we'll throw it over to that, and we'll be right back.
Everybody, today we have Nicholas Sirius, Siri, the Fortnite coach, GM. What are you on the team? Player?
Player, everything. Yeah, I mean, we don't actually have a coach, like a coach role, so I just kind of do that. I'm also the player, captain, whatever. Everything.
Oh, that's that's all right. Must be tough. Do you schedule your games and all that, or?
Yeah, pretty much that's exactly that. So we didn't have anyone that actually volunteered to coach, so I just took that role on to, like, sign us up for tournaments, schedule practices, schedule, like, you know, team events, all that stuff. Like, all the, like, administrative stuff that the team has to do. And then, obviously, I play, so I do both.
Oh, that's pretty good. That sounds like a lot of work, but also adding in as a player, so... Last week, you guys placed first in the qualifiers. I believe it was week two. This past week, you guys placed 10th. You guys are looking pretty solid. How's your team doing to your expectations from the beginning of the semester?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. So with the team that we have, I definitely had high hopes. We have a lot of potential. I think we were in three total tournaments. We were in Play versus Trios, Solos, and Nace Duos. So one of the goals that I set for us at the beginning of the year was to at least win one of them. In the first event of Play versus Trios, we didn't do as well as we hoped. We still made grand finals, but we didn't place as high as we wanted to. And that definitely was something that bothered me and both my teammates. So we went back to the lab, did a lot of work in between events and through the qualifying rounds, changed up a lot of stuff. We qualified much easier to grand finals this time around. Based on what we've changed, so we're looking to hopefully improve that placement next week and make a better run. And yeah, I think that everyone's doing really well. Me and Vexy made Play versus Heaths for solos. We both didn't qualify for grand finals, which is a letdown, obviously, but still pretty good. I'm pretty happy overall with, like, how the team's done so far, though, and I'd say that it's been a pretty successful semester thus far.
Yeah, and you were talking about, I mean, the Fortnite team's been on fire, you know, placing top 300 out of, I don't know, just under 1,000 players. And you know, always in the trios. You never see him outside of top 20. So you guys are actually really on fire and representing St. Clair very, very well. So, you know, hearing back from probably the esports administration from the school must be really good to hear from. You get compliments from that?
Yeah, for sure. They're happy with like how we're doing so far. We definitely try to as well. Like I said, we have a good team with a lot of good players, so our expectations should always be high. Even if, you know, obviously it's not easy to go out and win all the events. There's a lot of other good competition, good players that also want to win. But I think that when we have a team like the one that we do have, we definitely need to try to reach all our targets and go for the highest possible goals that we can achieve, make the program proud, make, you know, Sean and Chris proud, and then obviously make ourselves proud too, because, you know, we want to represent the school well, leave our own legacy behind. Like, we build the esports arena, at least have some banners and trophies with our names on it, you know, when we leave, so we can look back and say, like, you know, yeah, we did that. So yeah,
that's really good to look forward to. And going into next week, 1 week today, on the podcast, it's the 18th. So is the finals day. Well, what are you expecting you guys to do during that day? How many games is it? Is it just one, or is it like seven? How do they do that?
So it's six games of like played consecutively. So like if you say you die right away, you have to wait for the next game. And then basically it's just 33 teams. Everyone knows where each other are landing. We've already like all discussed that between the teams. So everyone's going to land and then basically just play the games out from there and see who the best team is. That's usually how it works for every tournament in Fortnite. Like in any grand finals, every team like will kind of get together in like a Discord or something, and like they'll all talk about like who's landing where, so that way everyone knows like what to expect. And then also they send it off to like the production team, so they know where everyone's landing. They can kind of get the story set for the event. But like, I don't want to discuss too much about our strategy and stuff, because we obviously had to change a lot. I mean, there's a lot of teams that like qualify with us every time. Like, since we make every finals pretty much, but so do they. So I don't want to kind of give away what we've changed in like regards to our strategy, because obviously a lot of the stuff we did last time didn't work, and the stuff that we have been trying has been working. But we're definitely expecting a better placement, and we are expecting to be a lot better off within the game than we've been previously.
So that eliminates my next question. I was going to ask, what are you guys going to try to do? Are you guys going to be more aggressive next week, or try to play a little more defensively and get deeper into the games?
No, I can answer that for sure. I think that our main problem the last time was just like Storm Surge and getting ourselves situated. And we just kind of got flustered a lot in different situations. So we've really prepared better on that. And we've, like I said, amended our strategy to basically find Surge earlier and get more tags and then not have to worry about it later on. We've amended our loot path and all that stuff, and like just to be more efficient, more effective. So just a lot of stuff like that, like a lot of like little tinkering that obviously goes a long way when you're playing a battle royale, because like little things you do in the beginning can help set you up for the end. So we're just kind of focusing more now on getting our drop, getting out quick, and then getting a good position in zone, and not worrying too much about getting stuck on the edge or like running into a lot of teams and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's very, very good. And I mean, strategies can't really go in depth, but one last question. Are you able to tell us where you're going to land at next week for the first game?
Yeah, so we're landing at, it's not a named like POI. It's in between Sweaty Sands and Holly Hedges. It's like a little alien. Like, it's a new thing with the season on the map. Obviously, okay. They change the map every season. So there's like a little like crashed alien, like flying saucer. There's a bunch of like, it's like orange on the map. There's a bunch of like little loot spots there. So we just call it alien. I don't know. There's actually no term for it, but that's where we're going. So yeah, in between Sweaty and Holly.
That's going to be good. So good luck to you guys next week. And I mean, show St. Clair, show them, maybe win it. No. Hopefully you got the whole school behind you. And a lot of people are talking about the Fortnite team right now. So
no, we appreciate that, man. Thank you. Thank you for your time as well in the interview. And yeah, man, we're going to do our best and hopefully make the Saints proud.
Yeah, I appreciate your time for this interview. Thank you.
Great job by Nick interviewing, and great. Like, Siri was an awesome interview there, just giving us a lot of in-depth analysis and a lot of detail about a lot of parts of Fortnite that you might not see on the surface, so you might not realize like what actually goes into the game.
For sure.
One thing that he really stuck out to me was how he talked a lot about the early game being so crucial. And in Fortnite and a lot of battle royales, you might think like, hey, we're just like, the goal of the game is to survive to the end of the game. So you might just think, hey, you just need to get by and do what you can and just try to pick people and get small bits of loot here and there. But he really emphasized how you have to, like, right when the drop starts, you have to have the right loot path so you can get looted as efficiently and as quickly as possible. You need to make sure that you have enough materials to stay farmed so that if you do get into some crazy build fight, or inevitably when you do have to box fight at some point in the game, that you're not going to be out materialed and have to just sit there and try to play angles and try to guess where people are going to break in your walls. And that you have to just be ready, like, say, having the right amount of shields and the right amount of armor and the right, like, tier of loot as well. Because if you don't do anything the whole game in the early game and you kind of slack off and you end up with a gray AR and a gray pump, yeah, you're most likely going to get ruined in the end game. So you have to really make sure you're on top of everything. And that it was interesting to hear him say, like, how crucial the early game was to actually, like, getting to the end game.
Yeah, you're setting yourself up for success, yeah, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But what I actually really liked to hear was the fact that when he was talking about the goals they set for themselves, like, over the course of the year, it wasn't anything like, we want to, like, just, like, perform in, like, the top half, or we want to get top 10. No, they want to win. Yeah. They specifically want to be the best. And I think that's the winner's mentality you really need to have if you want to be the best. 100%. So they're setting themselves up for success in pretty much every way. And I have no doubts that they're going to be able to find it if they keep going the way they are.
Yeah, if they ride the momentum from last week into the next 2 weeks, I suspect we'll see a very, very high finish from these boys. And I expect a great things from them coming in the next 2 weeks.
For sure.
Kind of that, you know, obviously, go Saints. Hopefully we get that second Fortnite trophy, you know, get the collection going. So that way when we have a trophy case in the arena, you know, we're going to have it nice and full. Like, yeah, right out the gate.
And the Fortnite team, I'm sure, would love to be front and center.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, then moving on.
Yeah.
Like, everyone talk about Overwatch?
Yeah, let's go to Overwatch. So, what's still a slow week, of course. It's going to be a slow week for a lot of teams here coming up as we go into playoffs. You know, not many regular season matches anymore. We did have a singular match this week on Thursday playing in the NECC going up against Bay State. Was unfortunately a loss 0-3, but Bay State, they're a great team. Very good.
They're like top three in collegiate. Yeah. So, like, it's not like something to break ourselves down over, you know?
Yeah. You know, there's no shame in losing to, like, one of the best, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, we would have liked to, like, you know, have maybe taken a map, but we did manage to take a couple points off. So, yeah. Things considered,
it wasn't a complete theme over.
No,
it was just kind of
there were bright moments. It was I think it was still an entertaining match nonetheless. You know, there's a lot of stuff worth seeing. Even if you just, like, want to see, like, high level gameplay, the DPS on the other team, they played really well. I know Kabe's Widow there on the last map. He was taking some pretty funky angles, some interesting picks. It was tough to play against. It was really annoying to play against, but for the viewers, made for a great watching experience.
I mean, nothing scarier than a Widow aiming from God knows where. Before you know it, headshot you the dink.
How is that, man? You know, like, speaking personally, you know, as his DPS opposite.
Yeah, how did you feel having to take that matchup?
Like, obviously, like, I came out the gate on Tracer, and then I got, like, after being down 2-0, I came out on Tracer, you know, did a little bit here and there, got hooked by Hog, and I was like, all right, you know what? We're gonna attempt the Widow.
Yeah.
We pull out the Widow. I come out. I'm like, where is he? I'm looking. I'm peeking. I'm, like, taking my time. And then it's just from, like, God knows where, I'm dead. And then I'm watching it back. And I'm just like, how did he get there?
You're playing the game of Where's Widow.
I couldn't even tell how he got there without me seeing
it. There was, I know there was, like, one pick that he, like, I think it was in the play of the game, actually. Yeah. Where he got, like, three picks. One of them, he was shooting in between the gap of two pieces of metal of a guardrail.
Yeah,
he was hiding in between them and found just, like, the tiniest gap in between. Just managed to snipe right through there. Like,
actually pixel perfect.
Yeah.
In Overwatch, we like, there's, like, different terms we use, like, regarding different people. Like, it would be, like, something like a Kefri angle.
Yeah.
Like, just a player that finds these stupid, aggressive, like,
unorthodox,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, very, like, tiny.
Very Rainbow Six Siege.
Like, yeah.
Honestly, just, like, silly spots. It's like, what exactly went through your mind in order to even find this spot? Like, how did you get there?
Why are you here?
Right? Yeah.
Why are we here?
But yeah, you know, yeah, it was a loss, but fortunately, there is good news. We are still in playoffs. We'll be coming back next week. I believe we're playing against Converse.
Maybe. I don't think anything maybe. Is. I don't think we've been given the
playoffs. So no bracket set in stone yet, but we will still be in playoffs. We're going to look to have strong of a performance as we can. Of course, you know, that's where all the top teams are. And so it'll be tough. 100%. Like, you know, we're not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, it'll be easy games. But, you know, we'll definitely be looking to give it all we got.
So. Yeah, 100%.
Just keep your heads up, you guys say. Just put your best foot forward, and whatever the results come, just accept your effort and how much you put into the Excel. You guys put a lot of effort in this year, so don't let it go to waste over losing to some top-caliber teams, obviously.
Yeah, and, you know, worst-case scenario, even if we obviously, there's a chance that we end up losing. Probably a high chance, if we're being honest. You know, going against these, like, top five, top three teams, right?
The competition
right?
is so stiff.
Yeah, it's Overwatch competition. The level competition in Overwatch is very, very high. But even if we do lose, there'll be a lot we can learn from. There'll be a lot we can take from that and put into making improvements going into the next semester, the next year, right?
Win or learn, that's it.
Exactly, exactly.
Moving on to Valorant.
Valorant also had a fairly interesting week.
We had a very interesting, it wasn't a long week, you know, there wasn't a whole lot going on, but we did play a game.
Mm-hmm.
And that game went to game three against Lebanon Valley College.
Yeah.
So St. Clair does come out on top, winning 2-1. All right. But how they got there is the interesting part. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we start off game one, and it looks like it's going to be a steamroll. But for Lebanon comes in swinging and wins 13-6 in the first map. And we're like, okay, this is a pretty strong team.
This is a problem.
this is a problem. We need to step a bit.
They coming out hot.
Going into game two, St. Clair's map pick. St. Clair wins 13-4. Okay, St. Clair's winning.
Problem solved.
Problem solved. We're steamrolling them now.
Map dip, I guess.
We go to game three. And this is where it kind of like gets
so
a little interesting.
So going into map three, given that map one was one-sided and map two was one-sided.
Surely map three was one-sided.
Yes and no. to start things off, St. Clair on their defense ended up going into the second half, down 10-2.
That's tough.
They were getting rolled on their defense.
Yeah, that's tough.
And then we go to the offense.
Yeah.
And St. Clair wins 7 rounds in a row.
Jeez.
Bringing them 10-9.
Talk about attack-sided?
And then eventually finding themselves 12-12 going into overtime.
Holy smokes.
And then you get 13-13. 14-14, 15-15, 16-16, and then the magical moment happens where St. Clair finally wins a defensive round, and that's all she wrote. It was ended up being an 18-16 win for St. Clair.
18-16.
That's more of a mental game than a physical at that point. Because Valorant, everyone has the
like,
mental.
Talk about an endurance.
When you're that long in OT in Valorant, and you're probably like an hour and 20 minutes in, and you're like, we just one defense round, guys. Just one defense round, please. We know we can win the attack. The attack is free for whoever has it. Just win one defense round. We get the hell out of this game.
Exactly.
At that point, you just gotta wonder, like.
Please.
Are you at that point? Is it really like trying to win, or is it just like we've been here for this long? Please don't let us lose.
Somebody win.
Yeah.
If we're gonna lose, let it be good. Like somebody
end this game now, please. We have to go home. We have family. We have school tomorrow.
Honestly, though, I can definitely see the argument that like at that point, you do literally anything possible to keep from losing because you do not want to spend.
Oh.
An hour and a half in game just for a loss, right?
I can't think of a worse way to spend a night than losing 18-16 in a game of Valorant with a lot on the line. Like I would just crush me.
Bad night for that must have been a tough night for the Lebanon Valley
that
players.
Would crush me.
Yeah.
Aside from that, very back and forth series overall.
I mean, definitely. The fact that you get like such a two one-sided maps. Each for like one team, and then you go to like just that absolute, I don't even know what you would call that at that point, like
coin flip of a map.
A marathon, really.
Some would say torture. Yeah, marathon.
Yeah. But yeah, so if you have the time in the day to get through that, definitely sounds like it's worth watching.
100%, you know, like good moments from both teams, you know, pop-offs from all sorts of different players. Like it's so hard to keep track of. Mm-hmm. Like one moment Casper is popping off, the next it's VCAN or JRC, and then next thing you know it's some other person on the enemy team just fragging out against us, right?
I mean, what must have been like every round you just had It's a different set of people just popping off, keeping it in their favor, right?
Literally, though, like, it's just all like, okay, who's winning this round for their team? Well, kind of moving on from that match then, another kind of bright side for St. Clair.
Mm-hmm.
Casper has won Player of the Week for the CF1 League.
Yes, CF League named him Player of the Week in the round five there. So, you know, CF1 is it's kind of like the premier, like, Valorant-specific, or I think it's FPS-specific, because I believe they also have a Call of Duty and such. But, you know, they're one of the up-and-coming collegiate leagues. They're not one of the top dogs quite yet, but they're on their way there. And so getting Player of the Week there, it's a good accomplishment, you know, means that out of the hundreds of players there, he was the top dog. So props to Casper, you know, always putting up a great performance, incredibly mechanically skilled. He knows a lot about the game, you know, just really solid stuff. It's a good accomplishment for him.
And although, players want to stay humble, when you get recognized by other people outside of the school and everything for your talent, like, it has to feel good. You know you're doing something right, and you're like, hey, I have a good foundational build here. Like, I just want to build off of it now and see how far I can run.
I mean, at the end of the day, people who are in esports because they like competition, right? Yeah. And so when you get recognized as the best, even if it's only for a week, that's got to...
take that.
Yeah. Got to fulfill something.
100%. Well then, I think if we want to move on, because I don't think there's any other news for Valorant there.
Yeah, I do believe Valorant is moving into playoffs.
Oh, well, so. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Almost forgot to mention. as for most of our teams, NECC and NACE are wrapping things up now for their regular seasons. So a lot of playoff matches coming up, and we will get into that a little bit later once we get into next week's matches.
Yeah. So we'll have to keep an eye on the Valorant team as they go into playoffs and see if they can pull out any 2-hour matches, see if they can surpass their record.
100%.
Maybe we get 2020?
2020?
Yeah, we'll have to see.
And then I guess moving on to Riot's next game.
Yeah, going into the League of Legends team. Now, League of Legends team played two different matches last week. One, we're going to quickly go over because it's not as important and there's not as much drama happened. They played in the NECC regular season. They had an all-Canadian matchup against Fanshawe. The Saints were easily able to take down Fanshawe and move to 5-1 on the season. They were able to lock in second place in the Champions Division, and now they have the final week of the regular season where they're already going to make in the playoffs and they're already going to be seeded high, but they're just going to try to look to improve that record to 6-1 and try to take that momentum into the playoffs. Now, however, they did start the NACE playoffs, and unfortunately, this did not go as planned, and from the get-go, not that they were in trouble, but they already had, there was a couple of red flags before the games even started, and that was one of their staples that just got Player of the Month last week was Ricky. He was unfortunately out of the matchup due to illness, so they had to sub in FaZe instead of him. And in League of Legends, when you have to sub one of your best players out after an entire semester playing with them and knowing their chip, like, that is absolutely, like, you cannot overstate. No matter how good the sub is, and FaZe had a solid series, it wasn't the reason for their loss by any stretch of the imagination. But when you lose someone as strong as Ricky LeFleur right before your playoff match, that is something it's really hard to come back from. And to the Saints' credit, they had a strong start and they were able to at least work through some of the issues, but ultimately they would fall the series 2-1. Game one, that is to say, Ricky coming out, McMaster immediately deciding, like, hey, we don't need to ban Aatrox or Jax, because those are two of Ricky's top champions. Right. And we have seen Ricky run roughshod over teams with those two champions.
Absolutely.
Before.
He's dominant.
Yeah, let's say he's one of the stronger players we have. Let's say he's one that can control his part of the map. He can help the teammates perfectly. Great communication. He's just a player that you really hate to lose. Let's say we saw Fresh and Barlow playing the bot lane with Nami and Lucian. Extremely strong comfort pick for them. You have a lot of support with Nami, and then you have a lot of mobility and a lot of damage with Lucian. And say Zephyr and E-Hug, they started off the game threatening. They were doing a lot of damage in the mid lane, getting a couple of double kills, able to keep the kills. St. Clair was able to take an early kill advantage and able to stretch out the gold a little bit. They were just able to keep a hair ahead of McMaster the entire first game. Between their mid and their jungle combo, St. Clair, they took a 6-0 lead to start the game, which obviously in League of Legends, like, that's not the end-all be-all, but if you can start that hot, especially after losing Ricky, like, that's super impressive that they're able to do that.
100%.
Yeah, and it is, like, just unfortunate, because League of Legends, very team-based game, you know, where everyone has, like, such specific roles, and you need all these roles to be working in tandem with one another, that even though the substitute... Like, even though having a substitute, he might not necessarily be that much worse than Ricky, but it throws such a wrench into things with, like, the change to the communication structure.
And in a game where synergy is, like, almost as key as your mechanical skill, so you have to know, you have to be able to, like, hit your skill cards or anything, but, like, synergy and communication and like the team comps in league, like you can, and we'll see this in a little bit actually, you can almost lose a game in the draft. Mm-hmm. If you don't draft the right comp, or if you have people playing off role, or if you have people not picking necessarily what works well against the other team, like you can actually like basically handcuff yourself from the get-go. Luckily, St. Clair not doing that this time. They're able, St. Clair didn't die until the 13-minute mark of this game. So this actually went really, really well for them to start. They started with a 12-1 kill advantage, and they had an 8K gold advantage. They had taken multiple Drakes. Zephyrot and E-Hug were probably the two MVP, I'll say co-MVPs of the match, accounting for over 20 kills of St. Clair's, five kills and six assists for Zephyrot, five kills, eight assists for E-Hug, no deaths for the first almost three quarters of the game.
Yeah.
You have those kind of performances, especially they know, hey, Ricky's out, like some of us are going to have to step up here and fill our roles here. And St. Clair was able to do it really, really well for the first time. They're eventually able to face check McMaster into the base after stealing Baron. And once you get face checked after already being down that hard, St. Clair able to just ace them, wipe them out, and take game one off of them.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Game two, McMaster, they would have a much different strategy. They would immediately come out. We saw big plays from Yone and Cassiopeia from St. Clair the game one. McMaster immediately banning those two champs, trying to limit some of the mobility and some of like the tankiness and damage you can get in the late game. I say, and McMaster, they played an awesome game. Their teamwork and their coordination this match was off the charts. The Saints were able to start off really well, getting a couple kills in some of the lanes. Barlow was able to get the Saints ahead. He had a really great series across the board. He was able to get really good damage and control his lane as best as possible. The Saints were able to get the first Rift Herald, and they were able to take the first couple of Drakes. But McMaster would fight back, and through the 15-minute mark, they would eventually lead in kills and gold. Even though St. Clair had some of those early buffs, some movement speed, and some mana regeneration, McMaster had an excellent series, and they were able to play through all that adversity.
Yeah,
they were eventually able to take out the first couple lanes of turrets. Kills were going back and forth. This was a really close back and forth match. Like this was McMaster always seemed to have the slight edge. Like St. Clair, we've seen from before, if they start off a little bit slow, they have sometimes a harder time catching up. And McMaster, it was just one of those games where McMaster seemed to be like a half step ahead or like a full step ahead. And St. Clair just wasn't able to fully close the gap no matter what happened.
Yeah. And, you know, you got to give props to the rest of the St. Clair team there for, you know, doing their best to step up, even missing such a key piece. Like, they really stepped up. They really made it close. And it's unfortunate that they ended up, like, just not working out quite the way they wanted. Yeah. But the fact that they tried so hard, even when being in that disadvantageous situation, like you got to give them props.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot to take in, especially in the game where you lose one of your cornerstones and one of your main pieces. Like it's any, like say, the expectation note that you don't expect the phase, but like when you break up a starting five for league that you've had the whole year in the playoffs, no less, like you're going to have decently low expectations, even though everybody on the team is extremely talented. Like that just, it can't be overstated, like how, like what, just bad timing. Unfortunately for Ricky, obviously we hope everything's okay and he'll be okay for the rest of the NECC regular season, but just super unfortunate that they had that happen.
I mean, like you could throw in like one of the best League of Legends players in the world, like take someone from LCS or something, say, even if you throw them in, regardless of how good they are, it's still gonna like just throw a wrench into things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're gonna have to change up how you think, how you play, what you feel and everything like that in the game. And so yeah, the end of game two, McMaster just, they were able to completely control the Saints mid. They were able to steal the Saints red and blue buffs. And just basically with that small kill and gold edge, they basically were able to just start to snowball. They basically bullied the Saints out of the mid in the jungle area on their own side, backed them up into the base. And then similarly to the other game, as we've seen a lot of League of Legends game, Team Ace able to clear Nexus after stealing Baron. And that put us into game three, where the Saints had both teams had their backs against the wall. This is both teams fighting for their playoff lives here. Unfortunately, the Saints did not. They came out of this one and just looked flat. There was nothing really exciting that happened on the side of the Saints. McMaster made this a pretty one-sided affair from the jump. McMaster banned Yone, Vi, and Jhin. Like, directly every single game McMaster, one thing they did really well, the Saints would pick two or three champions and that they know would pop off with. The next game, McMaster would immediately ban all those champs.
Yeah.
And McMaster, I think they stole a play out of Fresh's playbook and they wanted to make sure Fresh can get the pick. They decided to go with the Yuumi, who we mentioned last week can be like team-changing if used in the right way.
Very
and
strong.
Yuumi in this one, absolutely unbelievable. Like Yuumi and Hecarim combo, basically you had a horse with a cat in his backpack. This horse was running all over the map within 3 seconds. The Saints, you could get 50 feet behind the turret, they would just get dived, taken out, immediately swap back, and then the Yuumi would go and pocket somebody else. The Saints were just, this literally looked like a team playing at 2x speed against a team playing at 1x speed. Like the amount of mobility and damage McMaster had was crazy. Like, seriously, if anyone hadn't watched this, you have to go back and just watch. Like, the Hecarim play from McMaster, like, I cannot stress this enough. It looked like they were playing in fast motion. It didn't look like League of Legends. It looked like they were trying to play Call of Duty or something towards the end. Like, the Saints, I felt bad watching St. Clair because there was just nothing they could do. McMaster just immediately jumped out to like a 5 or 6-1 kill advantage. They were able to get all the dragons, able to get Baron. They went up like 8k gold. They were up like 21-8 in kills, I think, at one point. And like I said, St. Clair, it looked like McMaster was literally playing a different game. Like, yeah, the Saints, unfortunately, just like, and I think we really saw the effects of no Ricky here. And maybe if they got the first pick and were able to get that Yumi, they can make a little bit of a difference and take some of that health and that buff away. But,
oh, you know, McMaster probably saw that they're like, St. Clair's missing.
Oh, yeah. McMaster looked like, right? They had a perfect game.
Obviously,
plan.
Like, they're going to like put their foot on the gas. They're going to try and keep that going. And unfortunately, it ended up working pretty well for them.
Yeah. McMaster, one thing I will give credit to them. It's like, obviously, St. Clair missing Ricky, but McMaster game planned, I think, like, perfectly. They directly countered with the Saints, especially when you're missing Ricky. They know that other people like Barlow and them are going to have to step up and try to make. And that's another thing with St. Clair. A lot of the games we saw, games 2 and 3 especially, they always, even when the games were close, it seemed like they were always trying to overcompensate. So I think you felt that loss of Ricky, like, even when it didn't seem like they were down, you see the Saints, like, going, being a little more aggressive than you're used to. And a lot of times that will, if you're over aggressive against a team that has like game planned you perfectly and they kind of predict like, hey, we know these guys are going to have to try this. Then yeah. McMaster was just ready and read them like a book. And unfortunately, St. Clair just not able to break anything through. And McMaster, like, just credit to them. They put together an A-plus game plan and they were ready for everything the Saints threw at them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, for St. Clair, being able to even keep the series close.
And to take after, the first game.
Yeah.
Yeah. To take the first game after losing an integral piece to their synergy. Honestly, big hopes for next semester then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If they can do that well, like down a player and then bring them back for next semester, yeah, and like get the ball rolling, like who knows how deep they'll be able to go next semester.
Yeah, but luckily they still have the NECC regular season to finish off and then hop into the playoffs for that. But obviously the NACE Star League run sadly came to an end. But yeah, this team had all the hopes in the world. Say if you had that full team, that 5-stack, think St. Clair might have had a way better chance to win, especially taking one game. There's no reason.
It's really just like unfortunate timing.
Yeah,
right?
Just
like,
just worse
at the end of the day.
The,
you know, sometimes there's just like circumstances like these that happen, and you have to deal with them the best you can. But sometimes they're just too much.
Yeah, and a lot of credit to LaFaze. He stepped in for Ricky. Like he was by no means the reason they lost. It was a full team effort. He played super solid all the games. He had a really, really strong game one in their win. Didn't play quite as strong in games 2 and 3, but let's say he did as well as he could. When you're stepping in on that late of notice with the guys that I'm sure they've practiced a lot together, but like getting in a game against a really good team in the playoffs, like that had to be a lot of pressure on him.
Oh, absolutely.
So I give him a ton of credit for stepping up and at least having a good showing and say able to help them win one of the games.
Yeah, yeah.
Well then, I think, do we want to move over to our new segment, our
community spotlight? I think we are ready.
Yeah, let's do it.
Alrighty. So
for those of you who don't know, here at St. Clair, while we do have our Saints Gaming varsity teams and varsity program, we do also have a class dedicated to esports. And so as a result of this class, there are a lot of student-run esports events and esports-related happenings on campus and just around Windsor. And so...
Bird's Eye View.
Yeah, it was Bird's Eye View, born of that, of course. And we're going to take some time to sort of talk about what else is going on here. Yeah,
shed some light on the rest of the school outside of the varsity for you guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, 100%. I guess I'll start things off with talking about Amanda's group, who we had on interview last week, where she talked about like how things went for their previous Q&A segment. Well, they're having another Q&A segment coming up on November 18th from 3 to 4 p.m. On the St. Clair Esports Club Twitch channel. They will be doing a Q&A with a Caitlin Taniette, who is the director of esports at St. Mary's University.
Nice.
Make sure you catch that live at twitch.tv/scesportsclub.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting because I know from like the talks we've had with Sean, he's our director of esports here at St. Clair, obviously, and he always has like great insights into esports, into like the different teams and stuff. And so it'll be really interesting to get like the perspective of the same position, but from another school, right?
Yeah, so there's way more behind the scenes than you guys could ever begin to know, especially with that director like Sean and someone like Caitlin. They have 8 million things on their plate all the time, so it's super interesting to hear how they balance everything and try to come up with new ideas and ways to expand the programs and work new stuff. And it's just super interesting to hear someone who's like got to that point in their career and what they're doing forward.
for sure yeah.
Especially for people who at St. Clair who have like talked to Sean quite a bit to see like how things differ, you know, like how, like what are the difference between how we run things and how they run things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I know
that the stylistic differences.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I know that there are like a lot of like conferences and stuff where a lot of like the directors get together and talk about different things, which I'm sure like they do like problem solving and whatnot. Like, hey, you know, like you guys did things this way, we do it this way. Like, is there like a better middle ground that we can both use, right?
Mutual improvement going on, right? For sure.
So, it'll be cool to see some insight on that. And I think we also have another event going on.
Yeah, I believe it's a drop-in gaming event happening.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it. There is a, I think it's also on the 18th, as a matter of fact, from the 18th and 19th.
Yeah, 18th from, and 19th.
12 to 2 p.m.
Time's subject to change, of course.
Time is subject to change. But that is the current set time.
So. Yeah, and the drop-in, basically, if you have time, if you're on St. Clair campus, obviously, if you have time between classes, just come on, and you have, say, I have 2 hours to kill. I don't really want to go grab food. There's not really anywhere to sit in the school most of the time. Say, I want to come and play video games for an hour, hour or two, hang out with some people from the program, get to meet some people, maybe like-minded, and then just, you know, you can get back to class. No harm, no foul. You can get in and get out, stay as long as you want. Just go have some fun, meet some people for a little while.
Basically, it's
have
some fun at school. It's basically a free arcade, right?
Yeah, basically, yeah, you walk in free arcade. Yeah, it's scan the code just for, like, the COVID like precautions and everything. But after that, yeah, just go and have some fun between classes. Just kick it and just relax and enjoy it.
Yeah, and
especially, like, you know, coming into, like, as we're getting closer to the end of the semester and stuff, you know, it's easy to start getting stressed about school and all that. So,
yeah.
You need to like just take some time to chill during the day, drop in gaming, perfect time for that.
Of course, always got to have some you time.
Oh yeah.
And obviously there currently isn't a set location for that yet, so make sure you keep your eyes out on the club Discord, the varsity Discord,
and the club Twitter as well.
And the club Twitter. I'm sure they'll be keeping updates on there for that.
We'll have links to all that in the description, obviously, so make sure you go check them out. Even if you're not interested in the event, you should drop them a follow, because they do a lot of stuff here on campus. They run a lot of events, a lot of interesting stuff. So
there is something for everyone that happens on campus.
For sure,
you might not be a huge Mario guy. There will be competitive tournaments. There will be other events, charity streams. There's always something going on. So just keep your eyes locked to all the social medias, because you never know when you might find something. You go, oh, wow, I'm like super into that. And you say, who knows? You'll find other people that are the same way. And then, you know, you find a little community there.
For sure.
100%. You know, and also kind of funny how they line up here. You could go to drop-in gaming from 12 to 2. And then right after from 3 to 4 is the Q&A.
On the got your whole day blocked out. Perfect. Yeah. I get lunch in between. You got your whole day blocked out. Get them fun, get them information. Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's for sure. There'll be definitely a lot going on that day. But I think that is it for today as far as the community spotlight goes. So currently only a couple things going on for the next week. Obviously, we'll be back again next week.
Yeah, of course. And we'll be sure to keep you guys updated, of course, with anything else that is happening. You know, give you the bird's eye view of everything happening here on campus, right?
100%.
But keeping up, let's take a look forward now at what's going to be going on over this next week. So it is a bit of a slower week in terms of games because, you know, like we said, going into playoffs, not as much it can be streamed anymore, unfortunately.
But much more at stake.
Yes, much more at stake. The games that are streamed, it's that much more important that you tune into watching because there's 100%. the level of competition is much higher. The games are much more important. They're just going to be more fun to watch. So getting it started on Sunday, our COD team, of course, we all love them. You know, they've been forming amazing all season. In the regular season, they had the perfect season. They're going into playoffs now, and they'll be playing in the round of 32 on Sunday. So obviously make sure you tune in to check that out, because we want to see how long can they stay undefeated, right?
That COD team is just can't miss. Like, we can't trust enough. Like, you have to watch the COD team. If you haven't were able to this whole season, like, catch one of their games and just watch the dominance and the excellence.
Yeah.
I suspect we will see more of that coming into the playoffs. So
going into playoffs here in NACE, it'd be incredible if they managed to, like, do it without dropping a map as they have been. I don't know if it's possible, but if they manage to pull it off, it'll be it'll be an incredible feat.
Perfect season on top of a perfect playoff.
Yeah.
That would be
stuff of
that
dreams.
Would just be the cherry on top of the
game.
Oh yeah. Tune in Sunday to make sure you catch that. And then looking at Monday, we have the COD team playing in the NJCAAE regular season. Isn't that a mouthful of league? Huh? We don't know who they're playing against quite yet, but I believe this is one of their last regular season matches in that league before they move into playoffs there. Obviously, they're going to be able to make playoffs in there as well at this point. Even if they do end up losing this next upcoming match, they have such a good record at this point that I think they're guaranteed to make playoffs.
Yeah, it's more of a tune-up. Just make sure everyone's informed.
Yeah, pretty much.
Put on a good showing and let's buckle down and get ready for the next week.
But yeah. And then also on Monday, our Rocket League green team will be playing in the NACE playoffs, round of 32 as well. Like Bailable mentioned here, our Rocket League green team is also undefeated in NACE so far. So, you know, we want to see if they can keep it going as well, right? Like, if we can have multiple teams with a perfect season, imagine how great that would be, right?
100%.
Yeah. So make sure you tune in to check that out. And then we have a bit of a quiet next couple days until we get to Friday, where we have the COD team who will be playing in the quarterfinals for the NACE playoffs. I think we all have faith that they'll be able to make it there without much trouble.
I would suspect so.
Yeah, I think
obviously.
I would go so far as to say it'll probably be pretty easy to get to quarterfinals. I'd say quarterfinals, probably. That's where we can expect to start seeing some real competition.
Not on Majesticus.
Yeah.
You know, of course, for Friday and Saturday's games, there is a little bit of an asterisk on some of these games as they do require that teams do move forward.
There is technically the chance that we get defeated and the games end up not happening. But
is it likely?
A small chance.
No.
Very small chance, yeah. And then also on Friday, we have our Rocket League team again, who will be playing in the round of 16 and going into quarterfinals. So, obviously, again, dependent on them not being knocked out in the round of 32, but...
Like similar story to COD, we fully expect to see them in that round, and you should expect to be able to catch them live when they're playing.
And then on Saturday, both the COD and Rocket League team will be in the semifinals, assuming they don't get knocked out. But if they do make semifinals, make sure you guys tune in to watch that, because that'll be the last big performance before they get to the grand finals, obviously. 100%. And that's the
goal, the dream of the season. Mm-hmm. Get to this point, and they're so close now. Both teams just got to finish the run and close this out on the right note.
Yeah, two star-studded teams here that have been having great regular seasons, like just absolutely top level performances, and this is their chance to finish out at least for NACE, as NACE is coming to an end. And if with two potential number one wins coming up in NACE, that would absolutely just like solidify Sinclair as like what the top dog in Ace, I think, at least for 100%. This year.
For sure.
Yeah.
Also, a quick note for Friday and Saturday's games, just so no one gets a little bit confused. There is, for COD and Rocket League, they currently do plan to have two streams going.
Yes, so the streams will be simultaneous.
Yeah. So get two monitors, two computers, and catch both of them at the same time.
Bunch of wires. Yeah,
and I believe if they do get both streams running online, obviously one will be run on the Saints Gaming CA and the other one will be on Saints Gaming CA 2, which hasn't been used for a long while, so a lot of people probably aren't aware of it, especially people new to Saints Gaming over the last year or so. So there is a second channel, you just gotta look for it.
Yeah. It is potentially a bit confusing, but not to worry, because if you follow Saints Gaming on Twitter, you'll be able to find links to all the streams when they're going live, as well as times. You can get notifications and all that. We'll also have links to that in the description down below. You can find everything you need to down there. And yeah, make sure you do follow, because these are very important matches. These are going to be great matches, I guarantee you.
100%.
Do not miss any of the action. Absolutely.
You're going to see high-level gameplay no matter what happens. So you definitely want to tune in. You definitely don't want to miss that. So make sure you follow Saints Gaming CA on Twitter. Make sure you follow them on Twitch so you get notified when they do go live. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel here if you want to see the matches after they finished. If you can't catch them live, you can always just watch the VODs. But if you don't have time to watch the VODs, that's what we're here for here at Bird's Eye View. We'll be sure to come back next week. We'll let you know how everything went. We'll let you know anything that was interesting. And, I say hopefully, but I'm thinking that we'll be able to tell you that COD and Rocket League will both be coming out on top there in the semifinals and moving into grand finals. That's my prediction going into next week.
I will have to co-sign that prediction. Let's put our foot in our mouth, but absolutely. I will fully co-sign that prediction. And I suspect that we will be having a similar conversation next week at 100%. Around this time.
But yeah, that does it for us here. So thank you all for watching. Do we have any parting words from you two?
Thank you guys for the continued support, and say hopefully all the teams can come out on top here, and I just can't wait to bring you guys the next news and the recap next week.
Absolutely.
100%. You know, as the Call of Duty guy here, you know, I'm really, really excited to see these playoffs go down.
For sure, for sure.
And then especially seeing as there might be some Vanguard stuff coming along the lines.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to keep an eye on.
Really, really excited to see how that game evolves over time.
For sure. But yeah, so thank you guys all for watching. We'll be back next week. Enjoy the time off. Make sure you tune in to the playoff matches. It'll be great stuff. So yeah, have a great day, everyone. Thanks for watching.